Our worth is often so tied up in our work. We're so attached to what we produce because for whatever reason, maybe there's some stuff we need to revisit. Our achievement makes me feel like I am something. And if I'm not achieving, then I don't feel like anything. And so I attach this celebration to outcomes, but instead I need to actually just attach celebration to existing. If you are a creative who is naturally wired to get things done, to work hard and accomplish crazy goals, then this is for you. I want to talk about what should we do when we find that we're winning in the obvious metrics in life, like we're making money, our business is growing, we've got influence, etc. But deep down on the inside, we're actually not particularly happy. What do we do with that? How do we handle that? And believe it or not, this scenario is actually incredibly common. It's hard for us to get our heads around because what we're often seeing about successful people is a curated image, a picture. Think about social media. It's a curated brand from all these entrepreneurs and people that we're following that we look up to. They're making money. We see the highlights. We see the private jets. We see the stories and the testimonials. But what we don't often see is all the stuff behind the scenes. We don't see how that person sleeps at night. And we don't see what medication that person is on. And we don't see the self-doubt and the fear and the loathing that happens maybe behind closed doors. And of course, I'm conjecturing a little bit, but I know a lot of creatives, and I can tell you that just because someone is winning on the outside does not mean that they're happy on the inside. And I really want to, in this episode, just dig into why that is, in particular with this personality type. Now, I'm a very driven person. I fit all of those classic tendencies to overwork. I'm really connected to achievement. I want to get things done. And I'm super competitive. My wife and I, we don't play Monopoly anymore because it just got, it just went too intense because she's competitive as well. And so, I fit all of those personality traits. And I'm really aware of the gift. Let me just say, first of all, if that's you, let me just say that there's a gift, this ability to see the future and a dream and to rally people together and get things done. It is a gift. But the problem is sometimes when that gift is so strong, we neglect the other areas of our life that also need attention. And that gift is very celebrated in today's culture. Like, we're always celebrating entrepreneurship and people who take risks and accomplish great things. But we're not always paying attention to what's happening internally in the emotions, in the mind, in the spirit, etc. So I want to just share maybe three mistakes that we can make as creatives that can cause us to not actually be happy, even if things are going well in business and in church and around us. And the first one is this. The first mistake is that we attach joy to an outcome. We attach joy to an outcome. Now, this is really easy for us to do because by nature, we're thinking about outcomes. We're setting goals. We're thinking, when I get here, then I'm going to be able to do this. And you can kind of map it out, right? Like, you just have this ability to see, this is the next step. This is the next thing I need to focus on. And so it's very easy for us to fall into the trap of feeling like, when I get to accomplishing this goal, then I'm going to work on my internal world. Or then I'm going to give myself permission to enjoy myself or go on holiday or rest or whatever it is. And whilst there's nothing wrong with, rewarding ourselves for working hard, etc., the problem with this mindset is that we need to understand that rest is not something that we work towards. Rest is actually something that we receive. It's a gift from God. And you will find when you are always chasing rest, when you are always chasing the next thing, when you get there, there is like a few minutes of that amazing feeling of euphoria of like, wow, we did it. Oh my gosh, this is incredible. But after a few minutes, sometimes a few hours, when the high and the dopamine and endorphins sort of wear off, you know what we're doing? We're starting another project. We're going to the next thing. And we do it so seamlessly that we don't even realize that we're doing it. We rarely give ourselves time to actually just slow down and enjoy ourselves. And that's because our worth is often so tied up in our work. We're so attached to what we produce because for whatever reason, maybe there's some stuff we need to revisit from how we were raised in our culture, etc. For whatever reason, we're often so connected to achievement. Our achievement makes me feel like I am something. And if I'm not achieving, then I don't feel like anything. And so I attach this celebration to outcomes, but instead I need to actually just attach celebration to existing, to being a human being. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. And what that means is I don't get joy, I don't get peace when I work for it. It's actually a gift that I receive from God. And this is really contrary, actually, to all of the major religions, because there is a commonality around work in all major religions, which is like, you know, we should work hard, we should do good, we should accomplish things, we should, you know, that's generally a theme, right? But Christianity is different because what it does is it inverts it. It doesn't say any of those things are things we shouldn't do. Quite the contrary, it celebrates and encourages us to work hard and use the gifts and steward, you know, what we have, etc. But our starting point is different because our starting point is rest. Our starting point is peace. We have peace with God. And so we don't have to do anything to try and get ourselves into a ready state. We start ready. And from that place, we can actually accomplish. So I don't want you to slow down. I don't want you to stop working. I don't want you to stop dreaming. I just want you to understand that there's nothing that you can do to make yourself right with God. There's nothing that you can do to make yourself sort of like worthy. You're already, because of Jesus, you're worthy of his love because he has loved you. And so, you know, the goalposts in our life will keep moving. When we set goals, there'll be another goal, there'll be another thing. And so when we're always chasing something, it leaves us with this deep sense of dissatisfaction if we give ourselves time to actually slow down and experience it, because we've been putting our worth in work. And so our worth is always fleeting. And so that has a huge impact on how we think, what's going on in our mind. And so we often don't experience actual happiness. The second mistake is this, is that we move too fast to feel. We move too fast to feel. Have you noticed that things always look better when they're moving? You know, every car looks cool when it's moving. Some cars, when they stop, it's like, yeah, it looks a bit rubbish. You know, motion gives us the illusion of being better than we are. And, you know, in my experience, and this is personally speaking as well, you know, a lot of people who are sort of emotionally very perceived as being very resilient, you know, are the sort of person who is always overcoming, you know, nothing phases them. You know, these sort of qualities are really celebrated in the workplace. And so these are like model employees. Like, it's like, wow, nothing's too difficult for them. They can, and so it's celebrated, it's encouraged. And you're going to find if that's you, it has been celebrated, it has been encouraged and validated and verified and all of that. And so often when we are very sort of resilient, overcoming type people, it's actually because it's not that we are emotionally healthy, it's actually that we are emotionally detached. Nothing phases us because we don't feel anything. And there's a lot of things we can look into as to why this is, and I'll talk about more in a moment. But actually what happens is we don't feel. And so we keep moving and we're like, we're fine. But deep down on the inside of us, we're actually not fine. We're actually not okay. And there's all sorts of like unresolved stuff internally that begins to leak out. And the longer we live life like this, the worse it gets. And so there's little moments where there's like emotional reactions, like, where did that come from? Well, it's because we're pressing down like a float in a swimming pool. We're suppressing all this stuff. And our brain is so amazing that we don't even realize that we've done it. This is just maybe a way that we figured out how to cope in life. As we faced adversity and difficulty, maybe as a child or later on in life, something was happening and this became our pattern of how we cope, as we actually emotionally detach. And so, you know, we may be winning in our mind as far as how we think. We're thinking, wow, things are going great. But actually deep down in the subconscious, in the soul, in the spirit, there's all sorts of toxic, radioactive, emotional sludge that needs dealing with. So here's just a couple of things that we need to deal with. We need to deal with sin. You know, there's a lot of people who don't believe in sin. It's just like, oh, I'm fine. There's nothing that I can do. We kind of get rid of morality. We just say, well, there's no such thing as good and bad. It's all just relative. And that's fine. But the thing is even if you don't believe in sin, it still exists. Because what we're going to find is sin is inherently attached to guilt and shame. So there's a lot of conversation around those things. These are the things that's happening psychologically. There's all sorts of shame and guilt that we carry that is related to things that we've done, that is related to things that have happened to us. And just because we have a worldview which removes sin, it doesn't actually mean that we're not experiencing the impact of it, of that shame and that guilt happening in our mind. And so these are not constructs. These are things that we feel. These are things that we need to deal with. And if we don't, it's going to sort of like just bubble up on the inside of us. And it creates a deep sense of unworthiness, a deep sense of failure that we just don't understand why it's there. We're like, but I'm winning in life. But deep down, there's stuff going on. The second thing is that there's pain to process. There's pain that we need to process. And as I said already, you know, when we just sort of move on and sort of skip the pain, we're detached from what's happening. But again, it's still there. Our body keeps a score. It's in our nervous system, and it may be expressed in different ways. And so we need to slow down to allow ourselves to feel. And I just say this, that, you know, for me, that's really been the last few years, has been slowing down to allow myself to feel a lot of things. I used to pride myself in being someone who never cried. And I wasn't joking, like I just never cried. As a child, sure, but at some point, I probably hadn't cried for like 15, 20 years. And probably in the last couple of years, I've cried more than I have in the last, you know, decade or so. And I think, you know, it's not actually a weak thing. It's actually just me reconnecting and recalibrating with emotions, which are allowing me to feel. It's like I've thawed. And I'm like, oh, it's actually okay. It's good to feel. And one of the things I've realized is that when we allow ourselves to feel negative emotion, we actually begin to fully experience positive emotion too. So when we shut down negative emotion like grief or, you know, shame, or and we're just like, no, I'm not going to let myself feel those things. What actually happens is we repress them, but we actually just begin to shut off feeling, full stop. And so even the beautiful things of life are less meaningful to us. And so the more I have allowed myself to become, you know, more emotionally healthy and connected and self-aware, I'm actually beginning to feel so much more happiness and so much more joy and peace in my life, which are all emotions, because I'm now connected to what's going on the inside of me. And so there may be a backlog. And I want to just say this, is that there is a cost to slowing down. And it's not a cost you're going to like. The cost is that you may, your business growth may slow. Your cost is that you may make less money because you're now slowing down. But what I can tell you is that you're going to be so much more healthy. And yes, there may be some, you know, sacrifices in the short term, but long term, this is the play you want to make for a healthy and sustainable and the longevity of success, which is what really matters. What's the point of succeeding for like 40 years and then like burning out or breaking down because you can't cope? Because internally the structure of your life is not in place. So the third mistake that we make is that we create an identity around superiority. Now you might be thinking, I don't see myself as superior, but let me ask you a question. What do you take pride in as yourself? Now this connects a little bit to the last point because, you know, I used to pride myself in being someone who was super resilient. And, that was true. I was very resilient and I'd actually walked through some very painful things in my life, some quite traumatic things. And I had come through those things and have thought, yeah, I'm an overcomer. And it was true in one sense. I was an overcomer, but I actually created a bit of an identity around this overcoming. Okay, so think of it like this. I'll just share what happened to me. And then you probably be able to filter and see how this applies to you. So in my family growing up, I had quite a difficult environment and there were many positive things, but one of the very negative things is that my dad was abusive on all sorts of levels and it was very difficult and there were all sorts of things that, you know, I had to cope with and figure out how to sort of get through. But one of the things that happened to me is that I began to hate weakness and that was because I hated feeling weak. You know, feeling helpless as a child, And so I began, this is me looking back now, I didn't realize I was doing this, of course, because your mind is figuring out ways to cope. Your brain is amazing. It's trying to protect you. So my brain is trying to protect me from pain. And the association is, well, if I'm not weak, then I'm not going to experience pain. And I don't want to experience pain, so I'm not going to be a weak person. I'm going to be a strong person. So I started to make decisions that were strong. I remember being at university and, you know, thinking, hey, someone's going to come talk to me in my dorm room. Someone's going to knock on the door. And no one ever came. And for some reason, I don't know where I'd heard it, but I'd heard that that would happen. People would connect with you. People would reach out to you. And I realized no one was coming. No one was going to befriend me. And in that moment, I made a decision. I'm going to be a strong person. I'm going to go out and I'm going to meet every single person. And I did. And it was a complete, it was a radical transformation in my life from being this shy, introverted, you know, sort of quite socially backwards person. Honestly, I didn't have a lot of friends. I didn't know how to interact with people. And I made a decision in that moment. I'm going to switch on courage. I'm going to become the funniest person in the room. I'm going to become the most confident person in the room. And genuinely, I think I succeeded in many ways. But I created this identity for myself where I didn't want to be weak anymore. I was going to be a strong person. And in some sense, there was a little bit of pride in that strength because I'd been through something and I'd worked on it. And I thought, I've arrived. I've done what I was supposed to do. But what I didn't realize is that what I was inadvertently creating was actually a kind of worldview where I didn't feel like I could ask for help and where I didn't feel like weakness and being emotionally connected were good things because I was running away from something on the inside of me. And so what we're doing is we're reacting to something that happens in our past and we're creating this identity, which then drives everything that we do. That's why we keep accomplishing. Now, your story might not be like my story, but there's a good chance if you are someone who's a bit emotionally detached, if you are winning in every metric, but internally you're not happy, there's a good chance that there's going to be some commonalities in your story. And so I hope this helps you and encourages you to become a more emotionally connected person, because what is the point in winning? What is the point in having money if when you go to sleep at night, all you hear is fear and doubt and there's unrest, being a restless person? I know that God wants you to experience rest and experience joy. I take those qualities over money every single day. And I think you probably would too, if you know anything about life. But we can have both. We can actually win in business. We can actually succeed. We can keep all of this great stuff about our gifting, and we can actually experience happiness today. And so I want you to know that, you know, there's nothing you can do to win God's love, God's heart. He loves you. He cares for you. You don't have to work to experience rest and experience joy. You can actually receive that today. So, hey, I hope you found this helpful. If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe so you can keep getting this sort of content. And of course, this is the podcast. If you're listening on the audio, Spotify, Apple, wherever, make sure you hit subscribe as well. There's just one thing I'd love to ask you to do as we close. And that is there somebody in your world who fits this, everything I've described today? And this episode could be so helpful for them. I would love to ask you to consider sharing it, send them a message, a WhatsApp, an email, etc., and just send the link to them. Say, hey, I think this could be really helpful for you. Thank you for listening today. We'll see you in the next episode.